There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Wow.
Welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
It's hot in my flat, so I'm topless and having a lovely time doing a podcast with my good friend Chris.
People don't deserve that image in their head to kick things off.
No, they really don't.
We've got listeners driving through the mountains of Indonesia, and now they've got this image of you topless in a flat somewhere in London in their heads.
That.
Anyway, how you doing?
Good.
What's
yeah.
Going on?
What has been going on? It was my birthday. Stuff. I had a lovely time. What else? Someone sent me some blue flowers. Some spooky blue flowers. I don't know who it is. With just a card saying "Boys will be boys." And I thought it was like a promotion for a video game, but I just think it might be an absolute radio listener. I mean, they were lovely and they looked very expensive, but they were blue, Chris. Frightening.
Did they stuff them through your letterbox or did they come to the office?
They went to the office in this beautiful box with like a beautiful ribbon. I was like, I mean, it's very nice, but really? I just don't know who did it. And that's why I don't enjoy Secret Santa, because I get really wound up that I haven't thanked the person who bought me something. I don't necessarily like the surprise in that particular context.
Do you get a lot of fan mail?
Nah, not really. I mean, the only people who ever send letters are invariably the older generation. They're usually pretty well written. They've all got excellent handwriting.
If you're listening to this, ladies and gentlemen, do send Pete loads of weird fan mail into this Absolute Radio address in London. Speaking of sending stuff, though, you did send me a message yesterday. Mm. It was quite weird. I don't know how. It was basically an article from The Sun. For those of you who don't know, The Sun newspaper is the UK's most prestigious and brilliant newspaper. Taken one of my videos from, I think, 4 years ago and done an article on it. It was the video called... it was the video where I visited the Tomb of Jesus Christ in North Japan, which is, of course, definitely real. It's a little village, middle of nowhere, in Aomori, where they believe Jesus died a few hundred years ago. It came out of the blue. And you sent it to me, Pete, and I thought... I thought you'd actually leveraged your incredible network to actually get it done... and get a Sun journalist to write about it. But you didn't. It was just your mum saw it in the newspaper, right?
My mum saw it on the website, yes. She sort of spots the odd news story about Japan. I don't know any Sun journalists. I'd like to make that very clear. And I'm not sure I want to, because they have got a terrible reputation, certainly in the world of football, that you just can't touch. But they are the UK's most popular newspaper, inexplicably.
Yeah,
and the weird thing was, like, you were just on there, and I said, "Chris, they're using your video without your permission. Get an email sent. Let's make some filthy lucre. Let's make some
it's
money."
A lot of effort, though.
It's a lot of effort.
It's one of those. It's one of those things, though. I mean, they didn't link my video. They did it. They basically ripped the first 20 seconds of my video, and then they just wrote, "Oh, this is footage from abroad in Japan." They didn't link my video anywhere on the article, I don't think.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit annoying. The only upside is, and the only reason I left it was, I can just say that Abroad in Japan has now been featured in The Sun, which is something we all dream of having happen to us at some point or another.
Yeah, that's so true. That is true.
They might have stolen my incredible video, but at least I get to say I've been in The Sun. So swings and roundabouts.
He is, anybody listening, he is of course joking.
Yeah,
but
joking.
But yeah, it was just weird. My mum sort of sent it, and I said, because she sent it to me, and I don't think she knows your work, if that makes any sense. I think she's seen you in a couple of videos, but I don't think she realises that the person who was in the
really?
Video is you. Because I replied because she obviously it's about Jesus Christ, and I replied saying, like, that's Chris, who I work with. And then she sort of replied saying something about his... What was it? Something about... here we go. Yeah. But it's something about his... Something about his body being somewhere else. And I was going, do you mean Chris or Jesus? It was very confusing. Very confusing.
There's I like this image of your mum just sitting there with the tea on her laptop going through The Sun, finding articles about Japan and just forwarding them to you.
It's all very weird.
But there you go. I mean, nobody else actually forwarded it to me. It was a slow day at The Sun newspaper. Wasn't a lot going on that day. So they thought, well, let's just dig up an old article from the past or an old video and go with it. But it's weird how this sort of happens. I've found over the years, numerous websites have stolen my videos in some way, shape or form. Or they sort of say, can we use your video? And you sort of say, yeah, sure, as long as you reference my channel or something. And they go, yeah, definitely. And then they don't. And then you message them, they don't care, they just don't ignore it.
Don't know, yeah. Cycles.
One of the annoying things, people stealing content, but nothing you can really do. So
you can send that email. I could represent you in the court of law. Listen, you filthy Fleet Street monsters. You give my boy some money because you cut his video up and you didn't reference his channel, you worms.
Yeah, well, I don't think that'll get the resolution we want, really, will it? Still.
Give us some money.
Might be a great premise for a sitcom. But definitely won't be. Speaking of sitcom, I was in Tokyo. I've been in Tokyo last week, and it was my friend Sharla's birthday. Have you met Sharla, Pete?
Yes, I think she was briefly on the ride, yeah.
Yeah, and so for Sharla's birthday, she had one wish, and the wish was to go to Kagaya Bar, which I made a video about several years ago, another video from several years ago that's come back to haunt me. Kagaya Bar is effectively Tokyo's craziest bar. For those of you that haven't seen the video, what do you remember of it, Pete? How would you describe this bar from what you saw in the video?
World's most eccentric man gets windfall of money, opens bar. That's pretty much the narrative I remember. Legitimately, though, it's one of the videos that I watched before I'd met you, and I actually wrote down when I went to Japan that I wanted to visit that bar, but I never did. Kagaya.
Really? Well,
is that where it was?
We know what to do when you're over now. We know what to do when you're over in June. Yeah. So this bar, you go in, and it's a small bar, small izakaya. You take your shoes off, and you're on a tatami mat floor. It seems fairly inconspicuous, fairly regular at first. And it's just one guy, and he comes out and he gives you the oshibori, wet towels, and has a little chat. And then he comes over with the menu and starts chanting the Star Wars theme tune in a really creepy way. He just claps his hands together and goes, and everyone's like, what's going on? It must be copyright infringement to use the Star Wars theme tune in that way. But it's terrifying. And then basically you have a menu of drinks and food, and for every drink you order, you choose what country you'd like him to perform when he brings the drink over. So I don't want to spoil it too much, but for the UK, he'll bring over your drinks with a puppet teddy bear in a really ridiculous manner, which is in the video. The creepiest one is the American one, which involves a sadistic and sexually provocative Kermit the Frog. Do you remember that one, Pete?
Yes, I remember that bit, yeah. It's not right, Chris. It's not right.
I don't think I'm going to talk about what happens. It's not the sort of thing anybody deserves to hear be explained. But you can go and check out the video on my channel or Charlotte's, because I filmed it for her. She made a video herself. But you can go and check it out. And I apologise now. If you're easily offended, probably avoid it. Because what happens with that pop...
Has
what
he sort
the puppet frog will scar you?
It's just, the puppet frog is horrible, Chris, but has he updated his shtick in 3 years at all?
No.
No, exactly
he hasn't
the same.
At all.
Exactly
it's
the
literally
same. But he's still the same.
Paste.
He's still the same. Right, okay.
Nothing about it has changed. Yeah, it's still as horrific as it originally was. and what I've noticed is there was quite a few foreigners in there. Clearly, it's got a bit of a reputation amongst foreigners visiting Tokyo. So I'd say, of the 25 people in there, I'd say about half of them were foreign people. And they loved it. I took a guy from Norway in along with the party, guy from Norway, and he claimed it was the best night of his life. I don't know what goes on in Norway, but it ticked all the right boxes for him. So, but we'll get you there. We'll have to take you there, Gene.
Whereabouts is
Kagaya
from my usual haunts of Shibuya? Is it north?
Is it what?
It like from where I'm usually staying in Shibuya, Shinjuku. Where is Kagaya?
It's in Shinbashi, which is like a commercial district.
Yes.
It's not that far, though. You can get there from like
near the Tokyo
Shibuya
station,
in about
yeah.
5-10 minutes. So definitely go for it. But another thing that happened in Tokyo was I saw a scam taking place, and that's the nature of this week's podcast. I thought I'd talk about scams in Japan. They are few and far between, but it's something worth taking into consideration if you're coming to Tokyo in particular. So I was on Twitter, like I am, and I saw an article come up about some foreign people walking around Tokyo selling flags. Now, at first, you think, oh, yeah, flags, that's good. Everyone wants a flag. Who doesn't like flags? But it quickly became apparent that it's part of a scam where people extort money from you after sticking a flag in your hand. Basically, this couple were going through Akihabara, and they were putting flags in people's hands. And Japanese people are very nice. They don't know what's going on. They just think, oh, it's just some nice foreigners handing out flags. And then they hand out these cards. And I'm going to read it out to you. These little cards come with really bizarre English. And it says, I am deaf to a wonderful self-catering trip to Japan. I hope you can buy any flag, 500 yen. Let me know more about your culture. I hope you'll sponsor our travel expenses. I mean, it kind of works. The English is a little bit weird. For most of you who have travelled around Europe, you'll know this is a popular scam where people stuff things into your hands and then extort money out of you, right? Mm. I mean,
CDs.
Sure, you've had it happen to you at some point, Pete. Yeah,
CDs and Cameron is a big one. They give you their mixtape and you go, thank you very much, and then they go, can I have some money, please? that happens a world over. But you just don't see it in Japan, and that's the most interesting thing, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like this, certainly. I saw this in the morning, and then the afternoon I was walking around Roppongi, and I saw the exact people from the Twitter article doing the exact same thing, you know, handing out flags, extorting people. Now, they claim to be deaf. I don't know if they're deaf or not. They did see one of them was wearing a hearing aid, but it could just be, you know, it could just be not a real hearing aid. And my friend went over, and they stuffed a flag into her hand. And she was like, oh, wow, this is great. And I was shouting, no, give the flag back. Don't take the bloody flag. Don't take the flag. Went mental. Anyway, they gave the flag back. We walked away and let it carry on, basically. And I went to Starbucks for like half an hour. And when I came out, I saw one of the people with the flags talking to a guy who was really confused, a Japanese guy, must have been in his 30s. He'd been standing there for 30 minutes while we're in Starbucks, with the flag, not wondering what was going on. He was so confused by this. People putting flags in his hand and then trying to get money out of him. I guess it's just it's a really good way to break a Japanese person by offering them something for free and then asking money out of them. But I don't know where they've come from. They look European, but I'm not sure where they've come from.
I mean, you don't normally see... I mean, you're taking advantage of people's... compassion, really, in many ways, in that one. And it's just like, it's disappointing to see in as far as I've seen, an unsullied part of the world where you just don't see scams or many scams anywhere. Certainly on you know, white people or foreigners taking advantage of the Japanese, because they are very they're not very direct. The Japanese, they're not very forthcoming with their feelings, so they don't generally tell people f off. So that makes them perfect. I mean, as soon as the charity muggers start appearing on the streets of Japan, they're in loads of trouble because they're so non-direct. But I would say that the deaf thing is a pretty good accoutrement to the scam, because if they get in any trouble, or if a policeman starts haranguing them, I'm not saying they're not deaf, but if they weren't deaf, a hearing aid would not be a bad little prop, because you could just sort of plead belligerence by just sort of going, "Can't hear you, see you later, bye." And it would just make the whole process very difficult. And again, if you just make it difficult for a bobby on the beat, he'll probably just let you go.
Mm. Well, I mean, I read that the people that were doing the scam were actually been scammed themselves, or sort of dragged in to it. They'd got like a ringleader person who kind of takes them to a country, gives them some flags, and then sells, and then kind of sends them off to sell them and make money. So
this happens all over the place.
I don't know who's running the show, but I actually typed into Google and found out that the same scam had popped up in places like New Zealand. So clearly they've gone international with this incredible thing, but this incredible scam. So if you guys are travelling around Tokyo and see people handing out flags who are foreign, don't take the flags, whatever you do, and just give them an angry stare at best. Shower with them or something. Don't know. It reminds me of when I was in Berlin. I was going around there's a Holocaust memorial in Berlin, and I was going around it. And I think there's four or five girls approached me with this clipboard and got me to start signing it. They didn't really speak English. They just came up to me and said, "Sign this, sign this." And I was really confused. I sort of looked at it and it said something about disability benefit or wheelchairs or something. It was really weird. Mm. And my friend said, "Don't sign it, whatever you do." So I took the pen and I handed it back to them, and I didn't sign it. And they looked at me and just went, "Fuck you." And then they stormed off.
Yeah.
So... clearly,
you shouldn't swear at the Holocaust Museum, really. The Holocaust memorial.
Yeah, it felt like the worst possible place to do it as well.
Well, it's just where all the people hang out in it, I guess. So it's an interesting memorial, that. It's very, very, interesting.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
I mean, have you ever experienced any scams yourself whilst in Japan, Pete?
Never in Japan. I think you kind of have your wits about you a little bit. I think I've spoken about this before, but when I was in Shanghai, we were on our way to Japan. We had a couple of days in Shanghai and we went for some karaoke, except never go to karaoke in Shanghai because they just don't do it. We went to a karaoke room. A load of lads came in, demanded money. Well, actually, we tried to leave. We sat down to sing some karaoke, full of the joys of spring and booze, and loads of girls in negligees came in. We were like, "Oh, no, that's not what we're here for. We're here to sing. We're here to express ourselves musically." And then the women sort of giggled, ran out, and then a load of big lads turned up. And we tried to push our way out, and they were very clear that they were Chinese mafia, and we were not going to be let out. And then we had another goat pushing out, and again, didn't work, because there was about 20 of them. Where they came from, I don't know. They just came from, like, a second room. And we, you know...
How did you get out?
I gave them £80, Chris.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. My friend to this very day, Alex, swears blind that it was because he showed his NHS civil servants pass. I am English government. He is convinced that that was the thing that let us go. When in fact it was me giving them some money.
Well, £80 goes a long way in China, so yeah. I'd probably say it was that. I mean, that doesn't sound too dissimilar from the other scam, which is the most common, which is the bar scam or the hostess bar scam that goes on in Shinjuku and Roppongi. And this is the one I warn people about the most. So if you go through like Roppongi or Shinjuku, and you've probably seen it numerous times, you'll find like foreigners have been hired as street touts. Is it tout? I never know how to pronounce tout. Is it tout or tout?
Tout, yeah.
Tout it is. Who go around basically being very friendly to you, but trying to drag you off to these bars, these shady bars, hidden away in basements or, you know, hidden away. And they take you in and they kind of lure you in with really good rates, cheap drinks, free drinks. And you go in and then sometimes they put drugs in the drinks, like date rape drugs that knock you out. And sleeping pills and worse. And I've heard stories of people that have woken up in like an alleyway with their wallet annihilated. But more often than not, the way they'll do it is just charge you ridiculous prices for what you've had, basically. So a bill that should be 2,000, 3,000 yen will come to 20, 30,000 yen. I heard of somebody who was in Shinjuku and got charged $2,000 at a hostess club. Now, hostess clubs are expensive as they are already, where girls come and sit with you, chat with you, pour your drinks, light your cigarettes, and make you feel like a mafia boss. Typically, they cost like $500, $600. But this guy got extorted $2,000, and he ended up paying it, worst of all, because there was no other way out of the club, lest he battle his way through wave after wave of Yakuza, which probably isn't a good way to end your trip to Japan. But so that's one to watch out for the most. Shinjuku, Roppongi, be aware of street touts, the nice friendly chaps, often foreign, who try and drag you off and lure you in with free drinks. They do hire a lot of Nigerian guys for it as well, which isn't it's not an understatement. Most of them are actually, I think, Nigerian, and I think that's because Japanese guys find it intimidating or something.
I get Nigerians are very business minded, and they're just very fucking good at it, to be honest. And that's the thing about Nigeria, because of the slightly corrupt nature of their government, they export their best and brightest. They're always very nice.
They come across as pretty friendly. The guys are really nice to chat to, actually. They're very nice, but very persistent. I remember going through Shinjuku a few weeks ago, and one guy just would not get the message. You know, we chatted for a bit, and he followed me and my friend through like two or three blocks around Shinjuku. And I remember we saw a hub, a British pub, and we were like, oh, let's go in here. And he was like, oh no, I'll take you to a great bar, free drinks. We were like, oh no, we're gonna go to Hub. And we walked up the stairs into Hub and found out that it was closed. And the guy knew this, and he was just waiting by the bottom of the stairs. And we came down looking like mugs.
Oh, no.
And he was like, oh, I've got my bar ready, let's go. And we were like, oh, no, we're going to go somewhere else now. And, he was really onto us. He wouldn't leave us alone. But you just have to be persistent and tell them to go away, basically.
Just be straight, so look away, and keep walking. That's my favourite. And you get kind of people hawking stuff on streets all around the world. Just be persistent, keep walking, and don't maintain any kind of eye contact. And it's usually the shaking of the hand that initiates everything. So just if you want to shake the hand, move away quickly, or don't shake the hand, just wave. Say, hello, bye, we're off, going to meet a friend. I'm always meeting a friend. Whenever I'm on the move, in the night spots of everywhere around the world, I'm always on the move. Always meeting a friend. Always got to meet a friend. Can't go in your bar. Got to meet a friend.
Exactly. You're right. Once you've shaken someone's hand, there's no escape. I think my friend did shake his hand, and that precipitated.
That was it.
The nightmare that ensued. The other scam that isn't too dissimilar is the, I'm just going to call it, the religious scam or the monk scam. And I think this is quite common
around the world. You have like a fake monk. He tries to sell you a little Buddha statue, not too dissimilar from the one from Indiana Jones that he snatches, a little statue he snatches away from the temple. They try and sell you those for like 500 yen or 2,000 yen. But not only that, you also have, and I don't know if you'd call it a scam, I think it's just people trying to lure you to join their actual religion or sect, but you have people who come and talk to you and they'll seem quite nice at first, and then they'll eventually tell you about their great religion, which is often a kind of sect, some sort of odd sect of Buddhism, and they'll slip a pamphlet into your hand and then lure you off to take part in some sort of ceremony which you have to pay for afterwards. You ever heard of that one, Pete?
I've not heard of that one. If you walk down Oxford Street on any given day, a member of the Hare Krishnas will try and put a book into your hand, and when you take the book, they want some money for that book. But it's the way, you know, the churches have to be funded, and some churches don't have the infrastructure or systematic money that some of the other churches do, like the Catholic Church or the Christian ones. But it's interesting. But again, don't take a book, don't shake a hand, just keep walking.
Didn't we, a few weeks ago, I think we read out a story of a guy that was in, I think, Asakusa, and was lured in by some Buddhist monks.
That's right, yeah.
And he had a whale of a time. He really enjoyed it. He got to do a ceremony. He got, like, baptised. You know, this is just like a Sunday
it's
afternoon walking around
Japanese
Tokyo
experience.
And he's come out baptised. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's... I mean, that could be quite fun. That could be a good experience.
Well, if you do see, for example, the London Hare Krishnas and stuff, they seem to come from all over the world as they go around singing and stuff. And they do sing beautifully as they pass my window every day. You know, that's how people have been, you know, they've had their heart captured by this religion. And, you know, fair play to them. If they're having a nice time and it works for them, I cannot say it's a bad thing.
Well, I don't know. I suppose if you've got nothing better to do, you can join in for
the
rest
of the day. Are you disavowing the entire religion, all religions, if you've got enough time on?
That's a topic for another podcast. The last scam I can think of is less a scam, more just being misled. And that's sometimes when you book a hotel in a city like Tokyo or Osaka, you'll find... the hotel looks quite reasonably priced, looks quite good.
Yeah.
But actually, it's probably a love hotel. Often, it's difficult to tell the difference, but you can find that love hotels have started listing themselves on websites like booking.com.
Right.
And I guess there's nothing inherently wrong with staying at a love hotel, but you won't get the level of service you'd get at a normal hotel, and it might be a little bit odd. You might have to check your bags out every single day, like you would a normal love hotel. A normal love hotel, you can't actually book in advance. You just turn up, pay some money, and off you go for 12 hours plus. A lot of them have started branching out and actually just becoming hotels. Can be a good experience, but can be bad. And personally, I wouldn't want to stay at a love hotel for like a week. So be careful. The best way around that is just to check all the reviews. And do your research when you're booking a hotel. Make sure that it's not in the love hotel district in Shinjuku or Shibuya, because that's where they typically are.
Yeah, exactly. And I've noticed a lot of them on hotels.com, which is a reputable site, and I use them quite a lot, because for every 10... This is an advert for hotels.com, but for every 10 nights you stay somewhere, you get an extra night free. And so I was looking at like hotels for my upcoming Japanese trip, because I thought, you know what, I might do a few days in the big tower in the middle of Shibuya, what was that big tower that I stayed in the first time I went? Anyway, that
Cerulean
whatever
tower.
That is. Say again. Cerulean Tower, that's right. I was thinking, you know what, I might award myself a couple of nights there, because I did enjoy my time there. It is very beautiful. When I was looking at it, I was like, oh, it's so expensive. But I did see a lot of love hotels on there, and also hostels as well. They sell themselves as being hotels, but then you actually look at the small print and it's like shared berths and shared rooms and stuff, and you're like, oh, God, jeez, I'm not having that. Can't be arsed.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're booking a hotel and it's not like a chain hotel, like Upper Hotel or Westin or something, do some research and just make sure it's not something... a little bit misleading.
And that's the fun part of planning a holiday, isn't it? It's like, find your Airbnb, find your holiday home. It's nice.
Whilst I did just speak well of upper hotels. I actually was speaking to a guy who is he's been over in Tokyo with his girlfriend for a few weeks, and they checked into their upper hotel. I think it was near Asakusa, and they got in and they found there was not enough room. The room was so small they couldn't even put their luggage anywhere. They had to put their luggage on the bed with them because it was so bloody narrow. Which I'm sure you can attest to. You've been there. You've done that, Pete.
You see me doing that.
I've seen you do it and ruin your room very quickly with just mess and luggage. But they so bad was it that they checked out after the first night and relocated to the other side of Tokyo, somewhere a bit more spacious. So yes, that's another thing worth looking at if you're booking up a hotel or a hotel in Tokyo in general for a reasonable price. Check the room size because they do get ludicrously small. And if you're travelling as a couple or with friends in a room, it can be not fun at all. Like, it's they're bloody small.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
the room sizes, the hotel room sizes in Tokyo that you get are like would be illegal, I think, in North America or Europe, to be honest.
Yeah, if you sort of look at like a lot of Airbnbs as well, a lot of the reviews are the bathroom was too small, and I'm like, mate, that is a massive bathroom compared to what I usually get. Or the room was too small. So going, mate, you're not for your price range, you ain't going to get nothing. You ain't going to get no kind of size. It's crazy. Even in like the really expensive hotels, as I said, the Cerulean Tower and the one I stayed in Shinsaibashi, and it's just like they are so small for what you're paying. It's just the culture. There's just not a lot of room in Tokyo. It's very, very full.
Yeah, Japanese people seem to get by very well in small spaces.
Yeah.
Hence the prevalence of capsule hotels, you know? That's something that don't think... There's only one capsule hotel in London that I know of, in London Bridge. And I don't know if that's still around.
There's certainly like little pods that you can go to in like Gatwick and Heathrow, and it's run by the Yo Sushi guy. They're called Yotels, and they're like little pods. They're actually quite good because I book into them quite a lot, because if I've got a flight at about, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, which doesn't sound that early, but I go to bed about 2 or 3 because I work until 12, 1. I may as well at 12 o'clock make the journey to Gatwick or make the journey to Heathrow and get my head down there and get a slightly later start. So like £60, they're pretty good, and they're just these little pods.
I had no idea. I didn't realise they'd taken off.
I said, they're not capsules. They're like a little bed, shower, sink, toilet sort of situation, but they are very small. They're good though.
Hotel. There you go. So those are some scams to watch out for, folks. What I'd say, the most important one, bar scam. Watch out for that. That's the most common one.
Yep.
And lest you have your holiday ruined. We've got some questions from the fax machine. What have we got, Pete?
Hey, we got one from Isaac. Hello, Isaac. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been listening to your podcast for a bit, and it's fantastic for when I get stuck in traffic or I'm having a long drive. I'm wondering what your opinions on capsule hotels. Are there any ones that stick out to you and ones that you recommend? Also, I'm going with a group of friends, and I'm the only one studying Japanese. Will this be useful? Nah, Isaac, don't worry about it. I think I'll be slightly proficient by the time we got in 2023. Wow, Isaac, you're going to be so many levels up from everyone.
Yeah, you've certainly got long enough to study.
2023? Hey, we're hurtling towards 2020. It's now May, for crying out loud. It's crazy.
Oh, well, I mean, going back to the capsule hotels, I didn't realise the first question was about capsule hotels. My opinion on capsule hotels is I don't use them anymore, really.
No.
I had a bad experience at one, which I've talked about before, where I had to check out after like 2 days into a week stay. I just got fed up because they're really hot sometimes. Some of them have aircon and heaters, but some of them don't. And I found like I was just in an oven. And then people would come in really late because it was one that was frequented by foreign travellers who don't have the sort of manners of etiquette of Japanese people. I think that's another reason capsule hotels work in Japan, right? Just people are very respectful here. They kind of shut the hell up and go to sleep very quickly. Japanese people are magic. They just sort of roll over and they're asleep right off the bat. Whereas
like
it takes
that.
Me ages. And just as I'm nodding off, like 4 or 5 drunken foreigners just burst in and it'd be a nightmare. That one was somewhere in Akihabara, if I recall, which is a very touristy area. So I guess that's worth bearing in mind. Go to a capsule hotel that's probably not as popular with foreign tourists, and it might be better. But personally, for an extra few thousand yen, you can get a small business hotel room. And I'd rather have a tiny, cramped hotel room than a capsule hotel, even if the hotel room feels like the trash compactor scene out of Star Wars, where the walls are gradually getting thinner and smaller and crushing people. Like, I'd rather have that than a capsule hotel again, I think. Yeah. But you've got to try it at least once. Got to do a
Oh, massively, yeah. I've still not done it, to be honest. I just found the whole thing rather daunting.
Yeah. And as for studying Japanese, go for it. Yeah, why not? 2023, you've got a 4-year head start.
Good man.
You could be better than I am now by 2023. So go for it. And certainly, speaking Japanese makes travelling Japan a lot more fun. Like, people open up to you. Once you speak to someone with a little bit of Japanese, they're more willing to just come and talk to you, you know, and use their own English as well. I think because Japanese people are kind of shy, they're worried that if they talk to you and you don't know any Japanese, it will just create loads of awkward, horrible situations. So once you open up a little bit and use a little bit of Japanese, then it gets the ball rolling, especially in a bar or somewhere. But good luck, Isaac. Good luck with your studies. And do try a capsule hotel for a few nights. And if you really like it, then go ahead and stay longer. Mm. Got a message from Juan Carlos. That's a cool name, Juan Carlos.
Juan Carlos Escalante as well. His full name is Juan Carlos Escalante. I am loving that name. How good is that name? Juan Carlos Escalante.
Better than my name.
It is better than your name. It's better than both of our names. It's better than both of our names combined, to be honest, Chris.
I'm going to call my firstborn son Juan Carlos Escalante Broad. And they're going to definitely not get bullied in a British school. Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Juan Carlos, and after dreaming of Japan my whole life, I finally bought a plane ticket, and I'm currently experiencing the wonders of Japan for the first time in my life. I thought going to Tokyo would be too mainstream for me, so I decided to go to Hokkaido for my first ever experience in Japan. And let me tell you, that decision has paid off in spades. The nature here is absolutely gorgeous. Went to my first ever Hanami party yesterday with some new Japanese friends I met at a church here in Sapporo. And we were sitting under the sakura trees, which are about in full bloom now, eating mochi rice cakes and playing frisbee at the park. It was an experience I will never forget. Although, personally, I've never been to any other prefecture in Japan. The people of Hokkaido have been nothing but nothing short of incredible, happy and kind. I know Tokyo, Osaka and Kyoto usually get all the foreigner love, but I cannot recommend Hokkaido more than enough, particularly for the nature lovers. I'm about to take a train en route to Lake Toya, and I look forward to seeing more of the wonders that Hokkaido has to offer. Look forward to more podcasts, guys, and thank you for being a part of the reason for me buying a plane ticket to come to Japan. Juan Carlos Escalante. And you've been to Hokkaido many times, P, or one time at least.
I've been to...
You can attest to its beauty.
Yeah, I've been to Sapporo once. Yeah, that's one of those places I think... I reckon that would be really cool to visit around about this time, or maybe a little bit later in the year, just because it's really a lot cooler than Tokyo and a lot cooler than everywhere else in Japan. That's not a bad idea, actually, just getting a little car and tootling around Hokkaido for a few days.
But you can't drive, Pete.
I know, I need to find somebody who could drive. But I quite like that... my mate Marcus, who does the football show with me, he is big into his churches and stuff. And so whenever we go on holiday or whenever we take a weekend out, for example, we were in Lisbon at the weekend, he'll just pop and visit an Anglican church or a church, I guess. And it's just actually it's quite a nice inn for like someone who doesn't know the area. It's actually quite nice. Obviously, being Christians or being religious, they're usually, you know, pretty nice when it comes to, you know, helping people out. And so, so visiting churches and stuff is probably not a bad shout if you're that way inclined, so to speak. It's probably a quite lovely way to see the cities and see the people who live there.
When you went over, what season was it?
I think it was October. I think maybe it was maybe the start of October, and I remember it being very cold. But maybe they'd had a cold snap. Yeah.
I mean, I've been in winter and I've been in summer, and I really like it in summer. I went in August with Natsuki, went to Sapporo.
Yeah,
that was amazing. Just the right temperature, excellent vibe. People are very outdoorsy, probably because they have to spend so much of the rest of the year just hidden inside, away from the cold. Yeah,
yeah, but it was great. I remember sort of going to some batting cages, and I'm a big fan of the old Japanese batting cages. They are a lot of fun, just whacking baseballs around the gaff. Lovely old job.
Traditional Japanese pursuit. Cages.
Well, it's in bloody Yakuza, isn't it? So we've got to.
all your experiences in Japan are born out of a video game. You basically want to live the life of being in Yakuza, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that kind of thing is probably more popular than you realise, Chris. That's why people go to Japan, because of video games.
You need to spend more time out in Shinjuku, being dragged off by street touts to weird bars. And then you can have the real experience that you so dearly crave.
Yeah.
Got one last email here from Curious Man. That's all we've got to go on. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. Any plans for making videos about Rugby World Cup later this year? I'm not a rugby fan, but from what I gather, the whole tournament will span over the whole of Japan, from Hokkaido to Kyushu. My friend, who's a rugby fan, and I are planning to visit Japan during the tournament to experience the rugby season. Slowly becoming a Japanophile myself, since that would make since I've taken 3 trips within the span of 1 year, which, that's almost as many times as you, Pete. Mm. But I can't help it. Japan is such a nice place to travel, with the reliable bullet trains, clean hotels, and a balanced mix of tradition and technology, and above all, extremely polite Japanese citizens. Also, do you have any tips about travelling light? For example, I see a lot of those coin lockers, but I can't muster the courage to incorporate them into my itinerary, out of fear of them being fully occupied when I arrive there. Any suggestions? Thank you, and keep up the good work. Curious Man. Have you used a coin locker before, Pete? They're everywhere. Every station has one.
Yeah, I mean, they've got more than one. That's the main thing. If I imagine there are more coin lockers. I think there's a coin locker for every person who travels to Shinjuku Station. There are so many of them. If you're out in the sticks and there's like a particular, like a smaller station, you ain't going to see so many, but you're always going to find a coin locker. I can only remember I use them a lot, and I think I can remember of only one time where I've not been able to put my gargantuan suitcase into a coin locker, when in fact, if you take a slightly smaller bag than you'd probably be thinking about, you've got so many options. Just throw it into a tree. It's not going to be stolen, so just throw your bag into a tree, it'll be fine.
Throw it in a tree. Do you remember that time, I can't remember what it was, a few months back, when there was that guy, they opened a coin locker out the front of Sendai Station, and this naked guy was just sleeping in there. Do you remember that story?
I do remember that. I mean, spacious. And some of them are quite spacious as well, and step down from a capsule hotel, but clearly livable in.
It's really not that much smaller than a capsule hotel, to be fair. I use coin lockers like every day I'm in Tokyo, to be honest. They are quite busy sometimes, but they are in English. So if you're ever a bit daunted by Japanese coin lockers, don't worry. They come in multiple languages, so you should be able to use it. So
yeah,
definitely use it if you've got loads of luggage, because it's just carrying luggage and suitcases around Tokyo is my least favourite thing in the world, other than people extorting money out of me for a flag I don't want. So stick all your luggage in a coin locker and be done with it, and it'll make your trip a lot more fun. As for the Rugby World Cup, I really don't know a great deal about what's going to happen. Do you know anything, Pete? You're the sports dude.
No, I know nothing about rugby, but they seem to be very much gearing up for it when I was last there, which was about this time last year, maybe. It was pretty crazy.
I can't tell you anything about it, honestly. I don't know. I don't even know when it is. I think it's September, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll have to do some research on that and get back to you, Curious Man.
I always find that rugby fans are invariably ex-rugby players themselves, because why wouldn't you be? And so invariably they're quite a lot larger than us mere mortals like me. And so watching them actually traverse through Japan in the toilets and the tiny bars and stuff, I'm like, wow, that's going to be difficult in September, and just a lot of big lads turning up.
I know they're going all around the country. Mm. I have a friend.
Oh, they'll be in every
somewhere. Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Iwate, in a really remote village, and I know that one rugby team's going there, and I think another rugby team's going to Sakata.
Oh, so they're like their training bases, and then they'll go and play the matches in the stadiums around the place.
Yeah, it'd be quite a cool experience, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, massively. And Japan's got some beautiful stadiums. And they probably won't be playing them in Fred Kofu, but one of my favourite sporting experiences was watching them do their thing, watching a soccer team play in Kofu. And it was just the most beautiful place to watch football ever, really.
Where is Kofu?
It's just past Mount Fuji, I think, out of Tokyo. Remember, I got on that wrong train and just turned up at this, and they just happened to have a J League team playing. They're now in J League 2, which is very sad.
Relegated. Yeah, I mean, I probably will do something about the Rugby World Cup. I was actually asked to do a video about what not to do in Japan in preparation for the Rugby World Cup for foreign tourists coming to Japan, because the British Embassy was a little bit worried maybe that British people coming over might just trash up bars and get drunk and whatnot. But I think I'll be all right. Rugby fans are slightly better than football fans, aren't they not? Are they not?
In my experience, Chris, no. But we're always told that football, what is it? Rugby is a game for monsters played by gentlemen, though experiencing some of their fans on a Saturday night after a rugby match, drinking their own piss. I would sort of go against that, but then I'm very biased as a soccer fan, aren't I?
Brilliant. Well, that's a nice image to end the podcast on. Do keep your messages, questions and stories coming into us, guys, at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week, but for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you, or hear you, or speak to you, got to get that right, next Thursday. Have a good one.
I'll touch you.
Oh god.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.